All right, here we are for the maiden voyage of Back in Session. This is the first episode. We're your hosts. My name's Dimitri Sebastian.
My name's Wes Kendall. Thanks for joining us.
So I guess we'll go ahead and start from the top and kind of talk about, you know, what we're doing here and why we started. I think the idea here from the beginning was that we were going to have a podcast. We're going to talk about things that we didn't learn in school. So that's why, you know, Back in Session, you know, we're kind of focusing on, in the beginning especially, you know, fitness and lifestyle stuff.
Yep.
Pretty much because my boy here actually knows some stuff about that. So you want to kick off and tell a little bit about yourself?
Well, I mean, we've both been involved in this for a little while. But yeah, my name is Wes Kendall. As I said, right now I'm actually a trainer with a company called Five Star Fitness, where we do in-person sessions and group sessions. Also been doing the battalion master fitness training for the unit we're in for the Army Reserve. So I've been involved with training warrior athletes and soldiers to do good things on their PT tests. So, I mean, we both had a little bit of background in both, you know, soldiers development as well as, you know, fitness as a passion for ourselves. And I mean, one thing I don't want to say is we don't want to just focus on fitness. We also want to focus on development and, you know, filling in the gaps on the next stage, right?
Yeah. And I kind of, I guess that's kind of where I come in, because as far as fitness goes, I've always been sort of just doing it as a side gig. That's sort of what I enjoyed doing. You know, you do it in high school and college because you want to get big for the girls, and then you're starting to get big for the guys.
That's how it works.
I work in business development and product marketing for, you know, an IT distributor. It's super glamorous and everybody loves it. It's something that, you know, with a connection with the military and with that, I'm kind of more on the business side of things and, you know, with the personal growth. But I think that kind of builds us to a nice little team that can maybe talk about something that means anything.
Right. I mean, that's what it's all about, finding meaning in, you know, you're in the moment. And that's what we're trying to do.
Yeah, we've had our first big breakthrough. This is good. This is good. Wow. We're making a lot of progress.
Yes.
All right. So you want to go ahead and swing right into it?
Yeah.
What are we talking about today?
So your, I guess the main topic that we're going to discuss is programming and how to build like a workout that's going to get you results. Now, this doesn't have to just focus on fat loss or muscle gain, because that's more nutrition focused. Regardless, as long as you're adding this format, then you're going to be moving in the right direction, regardless of your goals. So,
okay.
As far as programming, like, we've been working together for a while, and
that's how we actually got kind of swinging together. So to clear things up, we're in the same unit, but the reason we got attached at the hip is because I decided one day, I've always been a traditional doing powerlifting, lift big, get big, be fat, be strong. And then one day I kind of realized that no one cared about how strong I was.
Only guys care.
Only guys care, which we talked about before. That's my only goal, apparently. But I decided one day, you know, like, I wanted to actually be big and a little bit more aesthetic, and I kind of knew about your work, and that's when I decided, hey, I'm going to actually get on a program and turn my back from, you know, Wendler and learn something about, you know, rep ranges.
Right. And, I mean, the good thing is that the programming that you did for strength training is something you still need to fall back on every once in a while. So it's like those skills you still have. But now that you've been doing this for what, 5 months, 6 months?
Yeah, about.
Yeah. Like, you've been pretty familiar with the types of programming like that we've been using. And what I'm talking to you guys about is like how I structure the workouts, starting with like the warm up through your, you know, progressively building sets to like the, you know, accessory work and abs at the end. So that's what we're talking about.
All right. Well, let's start from with warm ups, the thing that I never do. Do you kind of believe in like running as a warm up, or are we talking like active, like, you know, plyometrics?
So I think that like when people go and do 10 minutes of cardio before they run, or I mean before they lift, I think that is a good warm up and will work, especially like if you don't have any trouble areas with your flexibility, because the whole point of warming up is just get your blood flowing and your joint lubricated by heating up your body temperature. I mean, that we always like to do at least enough to get you sweating. That's what a good rule of thumb is, because if you do that, then you've lubricated those joints by heating up that jelly-like fluid in there.
So you're telling me all of like my snap, crackle, pop, and my warm-ups is just me warming up at this point?
Yeah, I mean, that is actual like wear and tear in your joints. But what happens is it's kind of like if you're going to put in a contact lens, you know, it's like you don't want to be that dry.
Wow, that actually made that seem a lot more. You should have said that before.
Right. So, I mean, that's a good way to think about it. And then the warm-up after that, you kind of want to get into what's called activation, which is next.
Okay, so yeah. What's the difference between warming up versus activation?
Activation is, say, you're trying to target your glute muscles in a leg exercise. Now, if you just go do squats without activating your glutes first, you're going to engage all kinds of leg muscles, which isn't bad, but you're not focused on a specific area. So what I like to do is say I'm focusing on my glutes, but I'm hitting legs. I'm going to do some type of, you know, hip extending exercise first to get those muscles loosened up. And then by the time I do the big lift, like squats or deadlifts, those muscles are extra stimulated, extra engaged, and ready to go.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So when we're talking about a warm up and how we're going to actually get into the workout moving forward, so you kind of want to focus on those specific areas. So if I'm going to go in there and I'm about to hit some heavy squats or deadlifts, you maybe running might not necessarily be the best warm up. We're kind of actually maybe want to actually do something lightweight, some body weight stuff.
Exactly.
Something that kind of pairs with that workout, not just getting sweaty, but actually working those trouble areas.
Yeah. Thanks for bringing me back on that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So good. Running or jogging can be a good warm up to get, you know, your body temperature up, but it's not ideal. So just like you're saying, you can kind of do two birds with one stone. You can activate your leg muscles with an exercise and warm up by doing like body weight squats or like a walking lunge or something like that to kind of target those areas that you're about to work with a heavy exercise.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I need to really start doing that because your boy hurts every day.
Well, I mean, we do that when we work out.
Yeah, kind of. I walk around. I like to sit on that little bendy machine, the one that you like kneel on and you pull back, you lean forward. That's like my pretend warm up.
Oh, the back stretch one. Yeah,
I walk around and I kick my toes up really high because I can touch my hand. I'm sure, be like, wow, that guy really knows what he's doing.
Yeah,
he can kick real high.
You know, one thing that I think works really well. This guy right here. You guys can't see it, but it's a cloth band that people put around their knees to activate more hamstring and glute muscles. It's called a slingshot.
Oh, the slingshot, yeah.
Actually, no, this is called the hip circle. It's made by the slingshot company. That's what it is.
Yeah.
So this thing is pretty awesome. Because
I was thinking this is like booty boot camp stuff. It's like you've got like that the tiny pretty girl, and she's like, they always just have those rings around their legs. It's just like, walking around. I don't know if it's helping or not, but I mean, like, it looks like it's working.
Well, you know Mark Bell?
Yeah.
He says he warms up by just putting that on and walking around the gym. Like, he'll walk around, put his plates on the bar, you know, grab some water. Like, after that, he takes it off. His hips are all warmed up, and he'll just fucking hit his set.
Kind of doing that, like, pants around my ankles walk. And then...
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
You're all the right, penguin. I dig that.
So, I don't know. I've been using it, and I feel like it's been filling out my hamstrings a little bit more.
Okay, that's actually... Yeah, my hamstrings are about an inch long, and my hips are always tight. So, it's like... Oh. Which is great for my deadlift, my hamstrings being that short. But as far as my squat goes, it's just like, right. I'm dying. So I guess when we're talking about programming, so you have that warm up, you can run, but maybe it's a little bit better to do the physical, depending on what you're doing, obviously.
Exactly.
Do you kind of want to talk about like the types of programming, or do you want to have a specific focus?
So let's go right into the next step. So we've got our warm up, then activation, and the next step in programming, it would be our heavy compound lift. Now, this doesn't matter if you're cutting or you're bulking. You need to do this next because this is when you have the most stimulated muscle fibers ready to go and you have the most energy in your workout because you're all heated up and at this point, you can safely do a big lift. So what I like to do is 4 to 5 sets, depending on how advanced you are, of like something that is going to hit most of the muscles you're focusing on. So if it's legs, that's like a squat or deadlift.
Yeah.
That's upper body, that's going to be like a pull-up bench press of some kind or like an overhead press of some kind.
Okay.
Yeah. Which ones do you feel like hit the most muscles when you're doing these as far as like the big compounds?
It's putting me under the bus right now. So I know that I hate pull-ups the most.
Yeah.
I can't for some reason. I just have officially decided those are my least favorite workout recently. Deadlifts are life, obviously. That's just one of those things that you can get to walk away feeling good from. But if I had to pick, if I had to like get rid of all those workouts and keep one, and I hate that I'm going to say, it's like just keep the squat.
Yeah.
Because you can just hit everything with your other accessories, but I don't think anything ever is going to beat like
to replace that
squat.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you kind of hit almost every single muscle in your body.
And the worst part about that, too, is if you walk in the gym, and you know how it is at Independence, it's you walk in there, and if it's crowded and you need to go squat,
yeah.
you can't do anything else before that. If you save for that middle of your workout, like, your whole entire workout's ruined. So you're basically hanging out for 20 minutes
yeah.
waiting for a rack to open up. But it's there's just no better or different way to do that, unfortunately.
So true. That's such, like, a wall to hit too when you're workout, and you know that you have to hit that big one first, and it's like everyone's taking the bench on Monday, or you know, everyone's on the squat rack.
I think I actually have broken that system. I think that the bench day on Monday has actually come full circle, and it's no longer chest on Mondays. I think everyone's so worried about it that they don't do it, because now I do chest on Mondays.
No one else
and
does.
No one else does chest on Mondays. Man. It's great.
You waited it out, and
I waited it out. You got to stay true. You stay true to the path.
Man, that's pretty awesome. Okay, so you guys are good. You know, we can go back to Monday chest day.
Don't tell anybody else. Okay?
Yeah,
you heard it here first.
Exactly. I mean, it's such a critical part, you know, to do that one first, just because if you do your accessory work before you hit your big multi-joint, then you're not going to be able to break down as much potential muscle and make as much progress as you could.
Yeah, and trust me, I've tried it a lot, especially, you know, on back days and stuff, because, like, everything kind of feels like an accessory on most back days.
Right.
But it's... if you'll go with like an overhand, like pull down and something, oh, someone has a taken. Okay. Well, I'm just going to go ahead and, you know, do some rows or whatever, some bicep stuff. It ruins mm-hmm. everything. It just it throws it all off. Can it be done? Yes. Mm-hmm. Do I like it? Absolutely not.
No.
So I guess that moves us into, like, after your compound lift,
yep.
what are we going to next?
So then we have your accessory work, like you mentioned, and that can be done in several different ways. I mean, like back or shoulders, you're going to be having a lot of accessory work, like you're saying. You know, that's going to be the majority of the exercises. But on something like chest or, you know, legs, that's going to be the smaller muscles that support your big lifts for the most part. Like, when you're powerlifting, what kind of accessories would you do for your, like, push day?
what accessories do you actually do?
I'm assuming, like, shoulders and tries, right?
Well, I mean, because I was doing, like, the 5-3-1 kind of stuff. So you go in there, you do your big lifts, and then I kind of was a purist, and I always thought to myself, like, you do, like, two or three more things.
Okay.
Because I was also doing a whole lot of, like, cardio sprints and stuff like that while we were, I was on that training plan. So basically what I would do is I'd show up, do my big lift, and then if we're talking, like, leg day or something, I was probably going to do something stupid like calves or, you know, what are they called? I call them good girl, bad girls.
Oh, adduction.
Adduction. Yes. There's an actual term for that, I swear. stuff like that. It was just because I hated doing legs after doing that. Or I'd do something weird like leg press or front squats. But as far as, like, back day, like, so you do your deadlift, you're doing your pull downs, your rows. And then at the end, you know, it's all about curls for the girls and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So that's... during powerlifting, it was a lot more by the numbers, and then after that, it was just what you were feeling. Whereas I think that I've changed over to more of, like, a more deliberate, we're going to get this done.
Right.
We're going to do this thing.
Like, this amount of volume.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Which is definitely different.
Yeah. And have you noticed, like, your, you know, accessory muscles, triceps excluded, have kind of come up a little bit?
Triceps are always great.
Yeah. That's right. I know that's one of the strengths that you focused on in the past.
That's all we need.
Yeah.
You start to notice a little bit more definition of stuff, like your upper chest, where you kind of, like, connect to the neck. You start kind of getting that collar that you don't really expect. Mm-hmm. I think that's where I've been changed. It's like deltoids, the top of my chest, my core, as far as, like, you know, like the rhomboids and all that stuff, that's kind of like flaring out a little bit more. The bottoms of my lats have actually started to get a little bit nicer.
Oh yeah.
It's
the shape, you know, aesthetic.
Exactly. Kind of. It's those, like, little tiny sections that you kind of ignore, and you just figure you don't have them.
Right.
You're like, oh yeah, I've just got short lats. It's like, well, no, it's like, it's cause you only work the middle of your lat.
Right.
Or you're like, oh yeah, no, I just, my chest, I have a small chest. It's just like, well, no, you get in there, you cock your shoulders back and push the weight up once.
Yeah.
So that's why you don't have a chest.
Yeah. I mean, that goes into it a lot. I mean, we'll have to talk about this in the next podcast or down the road, but we're going to go over, like, feeling in the target muscle and the mind muscle connection with those things, because those, I would say the mind muscle connection is less important with, like, your multi-joint primary exercises and more important with your accessories. Would you say so?
Absolutely. Because at the end of the day, with the major ones, you just move it.
Right. Exactly.
I mean, I guess on chest, you can stop using your arm so damn much. But other than that, just like, just get the weight off of you.
Right.
And then with the accessory ones, like you, it's, we've talked about this before where you see those guys doing like kickbacks or something. They're just like whipping their arm around because they care about moving the weight, not about hitting the actual, the muscle group. And that's just, it's asinine. It's not how it's supposed to be done.
So true.
It's like, you're, congratulations, you're wasting your time. You're going to be tired. you flexed on all the 13-year-olds at the gym. They saw you move that, but everyone else knows what you're doing.
Yeah. You'll get away with that at LA Fitness, but anywhere else, you know.
Hey, man, LA Fitness is a fine institution.
Yeah.
They have tanning beds there, from what I hear.
One of them does. Okay, yeah, so for accessories, the only other factor that I like to consider, you know, at this base level would be, like if you're trying to group exercises together or kind of do them separate, like you can superset like exercises that work well, you know, that works good on arm day or like back day where you could do like, you know, some rear delts with like your rows or something like that. Or you can do biceps with triceps, you know, those are common ones to do. And that kind of saves a little bit more time. So that's good if you have to get more work done with your primary lifts.
I think supersets have been one of the big changes that I've made. That so I was doing CrossFit stuff for a while, and that's a whole different conversation. But I kind of got turned off from supersets just because when they're done incorrectly, you're basically just pounding on the same muscle group. But if you actually do it correctly, not only do you get to take over a larger space of the gym and feel really important and cool, you also get your workout done faster, and it's the amount of blood flow, pressure you're creating in your muscles, it can't really be beat, and suddenly you're just getting a whole different kind of, you know, work in.
It's a different kind of intensity, right?
Yeah, I mean, if you know what I'm saying, you know what I'm talking about. Like it's hard to describe it in any kind of useful way.
Right.
But it's just, I think we all have a tendency, especially with our phones and stuff, to kind of sit down and just like, do your set.
Right.
Send a text. Do your set. Check Instagram. But if you're really just banging it out and getting it done and you're really starting to hit that failure,
yeah,
that's when you start feeling like, damn, like I'm flaring up a little bit.
Right.
Like that. Maybe the lighting in here isn't as good as I thought. Maybe I'm not just big.
Right. Maybe I'm actually getting some results.
Maybe. I'm going to go call my mom.
Right. Yep. No, that's so true. I mean, it really takes it to the next level. And there's a couple other things we did recently, actually, to in our program to take it to the next level. And this is mostly with our accessory work as well. We did drop sets, we did negatives, we did force reps and static holds.
Remember which kind of just goes with the whole muscle confusion deal.
Right.
Which I thought was just hokey woo-woo bullshit, but I mean, it really does. You, especially with powerlifting, when you're doing those same movements over and over and over, you don't get sore anymore.
Right.
You throw in a little bit more weight, maybe it works, maybe it doesn't. Maybe you get injured, fall back, and start again, stuff like that. But the static holds were probably the one that convinced me, because when we were doing static holds, I was like, this is dumb.
Yeah.
Like, this is stupid.
Yeah,
like, I'm just uncomfortable.
Right.
But, you know, that whole, like, the delayed onset muscle soreness that I hadn't had in God knows how many years, suddenly I'm just like, oh, my God.
Sore as fuck.
Like, I can't, like, I'm useless. It's like, my chest day ruined my back day. Like, I couldn't, like, fully reach out as high as I was supposed to. And that was something that I don't think people really appreciate. And I think a lot of people who are newer to programming, how are you supposed to know?
Right. And so you kind of got to step in the deep end on that one.
Yeah.
No, that it's good that changing it up. And what we did is we added in progressively. It's not like we did static holds, negatives, and supersets all at once. We kind of like added one intensity factor in a month as we went. And then eventually at that point, by the time he got to the final month, it was like all, you know, we're going guns heavy.
Yeah.
All barrels.
That's nice.
Yeah. So
we're back.
Now we're back. So then after that, we'll get into like long-term programming in the future, but the next step after accessories and, you know, supersets is working in either burnout sets, which is more of an advanced technique, and then like abs and core work at the end. Now, as far as like the burnouts, those are like if you're really trying to isolate a muscle, like biceps or, you know, like shoulders or something like that, where you're just going to like do something really light for high volume, like more than 15 reps to failure, something like that.
Yeah,
and those just hurt. Like, would you say just pump them out?
Only I don't best know, way to man. I'm not going to lie. I cheated for a while on those. I was just like, yeah, I don't need to do that many. I just load a little bit.
Yeah.
pick the weight up a little bit, do less. But I think I've kind of come around to it as far as you know, you'll be doing like overhead tricep stuff and you'll just be like, do 20 reps. Mm-hmm. And then it was like an additional like half reps.
Yeah.
I was like, this is dumb. This doesn't even make sense. And you start doing it and suddenly it's just like, you're up there and your eyes are tearing up. And it's like one of those like few times you're like, man, I think I might be experiencing genuine pain right now.
Yeah.
And, but then you put it down and immediately like your blood starts moving again and suddenly it's like, okay, it doesn't hurt.
Right.
So, okay, wait, time out. There might be something here because I'm not injured.
Yeah.
So it's, I think that it goes back to that, the same concept as the superset. Like you can't do a superset with your heaviest weight.
Right. Of course.
You can't do 20 reps in a row with your highest weight. It's just a completely, it's a different way to get to, you know, get to where you need to be.
So true. No, it works. I mean, that tricep one that we do, what's good about that one is it like it so isolates, you know, specific heads of the tricep when you're burning out like that, that, you know, it's a compound lift, hits all the parts. But when you're doing, you know, that extreme isolation at the end, you can really pick and choose which, mm-hmm. which part you're going to try and work on. But the thing is, that's not something that like people who are in their first year of lifting should be even focusing on.
Like it's, yeah, if you heard them. That, don't pay attention.
Yeah.
Cross that one off your list.
Yeah, it's just there's no reason, you don't need that level of stimulation. It's like once you've been doing this and you've burned through your newbie gains, then it's time to start adding these in.
Oh man, you remember back when you like first started working out and someone just like, oh yeah, you want to come work out with me? And you're like, yeah, sure. And you just had like the bar on your back and it was like too heavy, or you're like, you deadlifted, you know, 135 the first time, felt all big, and then suddenly just the weight just starts flying up.
Yes.
And there's like this like year.
Oh my God.
It's probably less than a year, but you just like, we're just weights flying out of the bar. You're feeling best. Awesome all the time.
Making 10 pound jumps every week.
And then suddenly you just walk in there one day and the lights aren't as bright and you're not smiling at anybody. And you're just like, let's see if we can throw 5 more pounds on this. And then you fail.
You go down 5 pounds actually.
And you're just like, you're starting to think like, what did I eat last night?
It's
like,
yeah.
God, yeah, you know what? That's right. I'm a little bloated right now. I'm feeling a little dry. I don't know. I'm just not feeling good. You sort of think into it really hard because back in the day, it didn't matter what you did.
Right.
You could have eaten nothing the day before, and you're like, mm-hmm. I am still going to PR.
Yep. So true. Those are the good old days.
I don't like to look back.
If you're in those, enjoy it while it lasts because it's not forever.
It's super short, man. Okay. So we've talked about our warm up. Yep. Talked about our compounds. Mm-hmm. Talk about accessories. How do you wrap it up?
So usually, like if it's a super heavy leg day, sometimes I won't finish up with abs if we, you know, have more work to do. But if we got time, especially if it's like a shoulder day or upper body day, we can usually get some abs in. And that one I like to do is more like stability work. A lot of people train their abs incorrectly where they're doing like crunches forever, like the military. Yeah. But what works the best is motions that stabilize your body, because that's what your abs do.
Yeah.
Like planks, rollouts, leg raises. Those are some of the good ones.
Yeah. And they also don't ruin you either. Right. It's like, it's really hard for those to actually like mess you up. 'Cause you're like, as far as like crunches and stuff, like you're actually tearing up your back pretty good. And you're actually mm-hmm. bringing your legs into it a lot.
Oh yeah.
You know, I mean, a core workout can make certain lifts a little bit more difficult if you overdo it, but otherwise it's just a supplement to add at the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, you know, from powerlifting that those guys have super strong cores because they're hoisting, you know, hundreds of pounds mm-hmm. like on top of their neck. You have to have a strong core to be able to do that.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, you belt up when you need to, but it's like, if you're smart, you don't wear the belt for as much as you can, because guess what? If you're not wearing your belt and you're working your core, you don't need to do your ab workouts.
Right.
Like you're going to build a core just from actually keeping that stuff from, you know, breaking you in half. Mm-hmm. That's sort of the best way to do it.
Yeah.
So here's something I kind of want to flip around with. So yeah. Basically, so we have this programming. You show up, you're new, you're just doing whatever you want to do. That's fine. Kind of program becomes more relevant kind of as you kind of hit that intermediate level where you're trying to
right.
to learn more. So do you think that someone needs to go to a trainer? Do you think it actually benefits them more to like actually try and build their own programming in the beginning especially?
Well, I mean, it can be. Like, I didn't hire a trainer till I was already lifting for like 5-6 years, you know, and I kind of had to learn a lot of this stuff the hard way. But if someone doesn't have the time or the, you know, like the time to put in the hours to research mm-hmm. and, you know, trial and error this stuff, or if they don't have the time left, you know, to waste as far as like, you know, the days it takes to figure that out, then I would definitely hire a trainer, because I learned more in like the first 3 months in my, you know, one-on-one sessions when I first hired a trainer than I did like in like 5 years of looking it up on my own.
So how do you feel about stuff like group classes? We're talking like the boot camps, the CrossFits.
Yeah. Well, I think that it's a good change to something that you already have going on with fitness. So it's like, if you feel like a boot camp's going to get you into shape, it's not going to get you into shape. It will help you lose some pounds, but it's not creating a lifestyle. What I would do to use a boot camp effectively is have a routine that you do already 3 to 4 times a week.
Okay, maybe we have a different definition of what a boot camp is. So is a boot camp a short-term thing or something? Okay, so
short-term, right?
I don't know. Actually, now I'm starting to wonder.
So like, there's two types of boot camps that I'm aware of. There's like the one where you show up for like, you know, 5 days in a row, where, you know, it's just like a summer, you know, yoga boot camp or something where you do like a week of, you know, workouts.
That's a thing.
That's a thing.
I didn't know that.
And then the other one is like a boot camp, like what we do, which is like 6 weeks of, you know, training. And then after the 6 weeks, you're done.
Oh yeah. Then I got fat the second I got out of training.
Yeah.
It's just like, you don't know how to, I'm not waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning to go run up a hill. You're out of your damn mind.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so that's what I'm saying. Like if you don't have those skills in that lifestyle already, then after the boot camp, what's going to keep you to doing it?
No, that's actually true. See, what I was thinking of, CrossFit, stuff like that, and then what's it called? Body?
Oh, yeah, body boot camp.
Yeah.
Like the big class?
Yeah, like the big people. The big class is 20 people. It's basically like a HIIT training and weight stuff. So you're not getting that individualized experience.
Right.
But so I'm gonna clarify and make sure that I'm not like attacking the body crowd, because I've dated some girls and they would stab me in the neck.
It's a cult.
It's cult.
My girlfriend goes there. She
I know girls who go to them and they're in great shape.
Yeah.
And they get their asses kicked. And typically the teachers are, for, I think, the reason they usually do so well. Like, I don't know where these people get trained or what they do, but they just seem to be very good at motivating these individuals.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to say, like, the product works for a certain amount of people, because I know individuals who, it's, you know, they're not going to do that type of workout on their own. They have to, like, someone has to say, like,
someone has to be yelling at them, like,
yeah, exactly, I'm about to ruin your day.
Yeah.
And that's how they get a really good workout in.
Mm-hmm.
I did CrossFit for a while. The reason it didn't stick for me is actually a flexibility issue. I'm just going to take responsibility for it. You know, front squats, stuff like that. I was like getting my shoulders to hinge properly and had that wrist flexibility, shoulder flexibility. And I started actually developing more injuries than I was actually making any gains. Like my weight in pretty much every lift went down just because
I was having to take time off.
I had to take my cardio was awesome. Like my sprints were amazing. A lot of my accessory work and kettlebell work was awesome, but it just, I don't think I ever took the time to actually get flexible.
Right.
So your opinion on these group classes and how effective they are.
Yeah. So I'll give you two opinions. I'll give you my opinion, and then I'll tell you what my girlfriend's told me as far as her experience in body. But basically, I think that if you already know what you're doing as far as, like, you know, flexibility, form, and, you know, mind-muscle connection, that it's good, because it will motivate you to really push to the next level. CrossFit, I mean, obviously takes everything to the next step beyond that, because, you know, you're moving heavy PRs ballistically. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's a different thing to talk about in itself. But as far as like the, you know, you go to like EOS or LA Fitness and you do one of those HIIT classes or body class or anything like that, those people who go there and only do that, they only have, in my opinion, about 2 years worth of progress. And after that, they're going to plateau hard, because it's not new stimulus from increased weights and it's not new stimulus from increased volume. So eventually they're going to just plateau on how many calories they're burning in a session. And that'll be it.
I didn't even think of that as an option. Yeah, that's true, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not customized to you. I mean, if you have a really, really good coach or something who's just like keeping it incredibly fresh all the time,
right?
Awesome. But
like, what do? They throw out like the 40-pound dumbbells and the 30-pound dumbbells, and they're like, okay, we're doing goblet squats with those. And it's like, okay, say you've been doing that for 12 months. Now the same 40-pound dumbbells come out, and you're still doing a workout for an hour, and it's been an hour for the last 12 months. Nothing is increasing.
That's one of the reasons I can't talk shit about CrossFit. Like, as much as I'd love to, because it didn't work for me, so I want it to not work for anyone. There's these guys there who are just like gorillas,
right?
And they're just, and because, I mean, you handle your weight the way you want to. If you want to snatch 405 pounds,
right,
you know, be my guest. And some people were doing that. Like, there were just, these guys were like mutant freaks, just freaking throwing weight around, running faster than me, doing all this crazy stuff. And I'm just looking at them, I was like, I want to be you. Like, how do I make this happen? And just, and unfortunately, it didn't work for me the way I wanted it to there. But if those guys are making it work, you have to make the argument that some people are just athletes and they're going to be able to make it work at pretty much any kind of workout.
Yeah.
But, you know, if there's people who are making it work, then there has to be something there, I suppose.
Well, you don't see guys like that at EOS doing their HIIT class.
Well, right? I think, like you said, there's only a certain level of progress to be made. And there's a really funny, this is actually completely separate story about these classes, Orange Theory, which I think is another one of those classes.
Yeah.
An old job I was at, the head of marketing put out an email saying, it was something about like a climate survey.
Okay.
People were able to come in and say how they, or send an email or fill out a thing saying how they like the job. And she was giving an example about climate surveys and how they work in real life. And she went to one of these classes. This is a woman, her 40s, 50s, I don't know.
Yeah.
And she said, well, yeah, so I went to my Orange Theory class and it was too hard. It was too difficult. I did not enjoy it at all.
Wow.
So I went to the trainer and I complained and said, this is too hard. And the trainer said, well, maybe we should just work harder, you know, do this, whatever. And she's like, and I, you know what I did? I stopped going there because they did not listen to me because they did not care about my opinion. And I was just like, and I lost my deal. I wish I had screenshotted it.
Oh,
it was,
my God.
That was real life. She sent it to like That's thousands hilarious. Of people in a company. And she's like, you can't go to be one of these training programs. Tell the trainer it's too damn hard.
Yeah,
and like, then when they say like, yeah, well, get good, get strong.
Right.
And she's like, nope, I'm going to not. I'm going to leave. I'm like, you didn't say, you didn't tell me, teach me anything about them. You taught me a lot about you, miss.
Right. Oh, my God. That was
great.
Blows my mind.
That was great. I loved it. I was just like, I want to meet this lady because she knows something I don't.
Yeah. Talk about mindset, right?
Oh, man. Yeah. Well, she doesn't go there anymore. I don't know if she goes anywhere, but we'll see.
Wow.
I guess at the end of the day, that comes down to like, so is that just going to come down to consistency?
Well, oh, yeah. So how do you use this, right? You know, it's like you use the programming to structure your workouts like as a model. Now you can do this pretty much, I would say, 9 months out of the year. Now after that, you kind of have to change it up to more of like a strength based approach at least once a year, or else you're not going to continually see progress with this. But this is something we're going to have to go over more in the future. We're going to have to do like an episode on how to do programming in the long term. I'm talking like 3 month segments to like year segments.
Oh man, we got plenty of time.
Yeah. So that'll be something to cover on its own. But what I would do, and my best advice is like, just take this and organize your workouts like that. Because if you can structure it where your heavy ones are first, accessories in the middle, abs at the end, then you're going to get maximum progress as opposed to like a blunted, slower progress in your training.
Well, we're only at the 30-minute mark if you want to start talking about this short and learn long-term a little bit.
Okay. Yeah, so what I would do, there's several terms that people have with programming. There's microcycles, mesocycles, and macrocycles.
Okay, now we're talking about something I have no idea about. This is good. Now I'm learning something.
So a microcycle, that's like a week of programming. So like everything that you're doing this week as far as your cardio and your lifting, and then that is usually in between 3 and 6 week intervals. So you're going to have that same microcycle for about 3 to 6 weeks. And that's your mesocycle. So what we do is we do a month mesocycle. So it's like every month we're changing up what you do on a weekly basis. So that's how you organize it into the next tier. Then from there, you have a macro cycle. Now that's like every 3 months. What you would do, and that's kind of like what we did when we were talking about implementing those intensity factors, we would do 3 months of, you know, first one we're doing failure sets. Like you take the last set of every first exercise for that muscle group and you do failure on the last two sets.
Mm-hmm.
The next month, on this month two of this macro cycle, you would do 4 reps for the same sets. And then on the third one and final month, you would do static holds. That's one example. And after that, macro cycle complete, and you have to go into the next 3 month period.
Okay. So a macro cycle is about 3 months.
It can be 3 months or it could be like a whole year long, depending on what you're doing.
It just kind of depends on what your like end state is.
Right.
So like if you were like training for, we'll say like a competition or something, the entire time you decide I'm going to start shredding to then could be the whole macro cycle.
Right. For example, a common macro cycle or shredding macro cycle would be like 16 weeks, which is 4 months.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yep.
Okay.
And then that just takes you through the whole prep and progressively builds you into that show. That's the whole point, is it adds progression to those months from a week-to-week basis.
Okay, so when you're making these plans, so I think that most of us get stuck on the week-to-week, especially as someone who spent a long time doing their own programming. You just kind of make it up as you went. What I think the big challenge is, especially when you're trying to like bridge and kind of start programming, we all go online, we start looking for the pre-made ones.
Right.
And almost all of them are like they're either a couple months to a couple weeks.
Right.
And they say, you're going to do this. And they're always made by like some Instagram, Fitspo,
like, who download my ebook,
Or may not be good at what they do. I'm not gonna, because I've seen some good ones. Like one for me was Masthetics.
Okay,
they're like these two guys out of like New Mexico. They're not friends anymore, I don't think. But
oh man,
like oh my god, their program was insane. It was great.
Made some good games,
and I did that like through college, and I got strong as hell.
Right,
but then there was other ones where it's just like how to get shredded, and here's my 10-week program, whatever. And she's like, you're looking at it, and she's like, this is bad. Like, this is not helpful. It's the same shit every single week. Just copy and paste it over this,
this four sets of 15 every exercise.
And it's nuts. Yeah. So it's one of those things, like, I guess if you're building up, should you kind of start from that week to week if you're trying to learn yourself, or should you kind of have more of a long-term plan in mind?
I would say you could probably get away with the same exercise if it's your first like week working out. You can get away with the same week's worth of exercises for probably like 6 months.
I think so.
Something like that. But then after that, I mean, it's person dependent. Everyone has different like genetics and different windows on how long they're going to make newbie gains. So it's like some people might finish off with their newbie gains after like 6 months. And then at that point, you have to get into advanced programming. So once you start seeing that your lifts aren't going up after like 2 or 3 weeks, and you feel like if anything, you're going backwards, then you got to change up your programming because you've hit the official wall.
Well, I feel like then you're gonna start having those, those workout hypochondriacs
who
every time they hit any amount of plateau, it's just like, cool, we gotta change it up.
Okay,
and,
good point.
What's the difference between sustainability and pushing through versus being erratic and jumping around?
There's no reason to quit your program less than 3 weeks. So that's what I'm saying. Like if you've gone like 3 or 2 weeks and you're like, oh, I'm not making any progress, like hold out for 3 weeks, if not four, because maybe there's something in there that you don't even realize until you go to the next one. Like for example, if this one thing that gets me is when I go from lower volume to higher volume, which is like going from sets of 8 to like sets of 12. I always feel like by week 3 that I'm made zero progress in strength. But then after that, 4 weeks are over and I go back to a different volume, I'm always stronger every time.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's like sometimes you just got to stick it out even though you don't see any immediate gratification.
I think that's one of the hard things, especially with people trying to go into a cut or even a bulk, if that's something that's challenging for you. But you step on the scale, and I'm of the camp where I like to step on the scale every morning,
right,
so that I can kind of get like a bead on where my general direction is.
Yeah,
but you have to be really careful with that because you're gonna have these sharp spikes up or down. Like there's gonna be a random day where it's like, damn, I'm down 4 pounds. I'm awesome.
Yeah.
And then another day you're up, 6 because just I don't know. It's just like there's just your body just does weird stuff. You ate something weird the day before, water retention, yada yada yada.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that people have a tendency to say like, okay, cool, this isn't working. Or maybe they'll get a little bit too confident in what they're doing and get stagnant even.
Yeah.
So you're saying you got to get that like that pulse. You got to give it like 3 weeks. We're talking
right.
Got to be very deliberate in this decision making process.
Yeah, it's so true. The weight thing is an excellent example. Like it changes about 5 pounds every day from just waking up to going to bed. So it's like such a moving target.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. You'll start to notice trends over time the more you do this. And I feel like the biggest thing is like not only getting more reps in the gym, but like more days doing this lifestyle, because that's where you start to learn your body.
I think that's one of the biggest takeaways you can take from any of this. Just even if you're not programming well, doing it every single day, like just look at high school students, like look at like high school from like juniors and seniors, like those kids who are just like freaking, they have all this testosterone flowing through their bodies, they're being athletes or whatever, and their workout plans are just awful. They're by like, their random dad who decided to, he knew what he was talking about with weightlifting because he was at a D2 college playing football once.
Showed him how to bench press.
And exactly. And they're doing these terrible ego lifts and everything, but like they're looking like strong. Mm-hmm. And that's because that's all they do is go to practice and work out. And mm-hmm. it's something that suddenly stops when you get older. It's just that we get jobs and we stop paying as much attention doing it. It's like it's about where your priorities lie and consistency.
Consistency still works when you're an adult.
Consistency still works. What? No, that one, I think we can all take that one home right there. It's just, right. It's just like, yeah, you have kids, you have a job, you have this going on. It's just mm-hmm. like, it's okay to have other priorities, mm-hmm. but like, let's not point the finger at the program or your body and just say, like, oh no, I mean, that's just not for me anymore. It's not going to happen.
Right.
Like, no, your priorities have changed. That's fine.
Yeah.
But let's not pretend that it couldn't change.
It's ultimately up to you and taking responsibility on what you care about. And like, you can still make progress going 3 times a week. Like mm-hmm. if you do 3 lifting sessions and probably 2 or 3 cardio sessions, you know, a week, as long as you do it like every week, for you know, extended period of time, you will still make progress. It's not like you have to do this 6 days a week.
I think we also have to ask ourselves like how hard we're hitting it too. We get into the, especially when you're self-programming, going into the gym, getting your workout done, and just knowing in the back of your head it wasn't that great. It was just like you didn't go as heavy as you probably could have. Like you're tired, it was whatever. The weight just wasn't. You didn't put stress on your body. And that's when we start getting used to, like, our bodies are astoundingly good mm-hmm. at adjusting to the stresses we throw at it. So if you're not going to build on that.
Right.
Exactly. Which I think maybe that is why being a trainer, I guess that's why I decided to, like, start, you know, looking into training and, you know, actually having an outside voice saying, like, yeah, this is working, this isn't, because I got into a seriously bad point where I was just like, yeah, it was literally just, you know, punching in, punching out when I came to the gym.
You just show up. Oh, and for an hour, time to go.
Yeah, exactly. You do what I was supposed to do. Did the number go up? Did I feel any better? No, but I mean, that's what you're supposed to do. Let's go to the gym. And just, I think that we need to watch ourselves when we're doing stuff like that.
Right. Like I heard a quote the other day. It's like, I mean, I'm going to summarize it, but basically it was saying that, you know, you can't hold yourself to accountable for everything, but your ideal self can. So it's like, you know, if you're trying to be, you know, the CEO or something like that, now you in your current position can't hold yourself accountable enough to be the CEO. But if you can like imagine or, you know, put yourself in the shoes of someone already in that position, then that makes you be more critical.
Yeah, I dig that a lot. Actually, the whole mental alchemy thing, it's just mm-hmm. if you're acting like someone who's going to be a CEO or that, it's like you're going to do the right things.
Right.
If you're doing the right things, like just being a cocky asshole is never going to help anybody. But you know, if you're doing the things, you're saying like, okay, what would I do if I was trying to be the CEO? If I was trying to be the most shredded, I was trying to be the best. You would say, okay, I'm gonna wake up early. I'm gonna mm-hmm. go on my run, and I'm gonna get on my workout later. I'm gonna drink a gallon of water every single day, and I'm not gonna eat like shit.
Yeah,
that's the kind of stuff that says, okay, cool. He thinks he's gonna be a CEO, but no, he's actually doing the right things, and suddenly those people. It's like, you know, that we think about those guys that we hate, but they're really successful. It's like, God, that guy's kind of an asshole. It's like, but he's doing all the right things.
Yeah.
So that's why it works.
Man, you got to think, am I being, you know, jealous right now? Or is it?
Oh, I'm always jealous. I love being jealous. Jealousy is what freaking gets me out of bed in the morning. You always hear about the whole like nice guy thing where it's just like, why does no girl like me? I'm such a nice guy. It's like, because you're lame. Like, you're not doing anything. Like, I know you're nice. I'm sure you're pretty nice.
You're not fueled by caffeine and hate.
But like, you got to do something. Like, it's like, you know, I mean, I'm sorry that people want you to do better stuff. Mediocrity is mediocre.
tough fact.
Facts. Yeah. I don't know. I'm super mediocre. That's why I got to try harder. We're going to make things so good.
I mean, that's the point. It's like, I feel like, and I was talking to my friend the other day about this, you know, in the game of winning at, I guess, in today's life and, you know, being successful in Western standards would be like, you have to not only one be, you know, successful in your business side, but also be healthy. You know, it's like there's so many people in older generations that got away with being successful and unhealthy. But I feel like our generation is kind of holding people that we look up to both standards.
We hold, I think, as a much higher standard. It used to be like, oh, yeah, he makes 6 figures. He's got a nice car, house, wife, everything. But, you know, he eats like crap and smokes cigarettes and he's going to die early. And we were just like, that's fine. That's normal. But now no, you gotta, you've got to be like squeaky clean from top to bottom, or everyone's gonna think that, you know, everyone's gonna find them.
They see right through you, you know. It's like, are they really winning if they're like sacrificing their health and their family, you know, to be successful? But exactly. If you've got the whole, you know, picture, you're, then that's the ideal that I, at least I'm shooting for.
Yeah, right. And I think we need to like stress with, especially with like this whole programming life thing, as far as just like some people, they don't want to be the strongest or the most shredded or run their own business or even be the CEO. They just want to be comfortable. I think it's all kind of about like being, you know, at one with your situation and comfortable and what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And, but I think that at the end of the day, you still have to be consistent with what that is. Like whatever that end state is for you, you have to be consistent and say like, I'm going to go ahead and do this every single day so that I can be the way I want to be.
Right.
And if that's, you know, you're just like the, you know, you're, I don't even know. Your job isn't like super impressive from the outside, but you're happy. You like your coworkers. You get to go home at you know, six every night and see your kids and everything. What are you doing to maintain that / make that even better?
Right, and that's funny that you said that, because it's like one thing that I take away from, you know, my time in active duty and like school and all this other stuff that I've done is like what they're doing is they're instituting values and routine into you, right? That's what the Army does. That's what universities do. That's what any like trade or skill that you have to discipline yourself for is, it's giving you an ideology to follow. And you can make up your own. The thing is, you can make up your own ideology,
right?
As long as you're like, hey, I don't care if I get, you know, a millionaire, become a millionaire and have a 100,000 Instagram followers, but I do want to spend time with my family. I do want to be, you know, work out 3 times a week, and I do want to, you know, put in my 40 hours at work. And if you stick to those three things, then you're probably living a good life.
You're probably doing okay.
Yeah.
if you are going to work, paying taxes, taking care of your family, you're probably doing pretty damn good.
Yeah. And I mean, if that's the ideology and the beliefs that you want to have, then I think that's, as long as you stick to it, just like you're saying, that's where people are content.
And that comes all the way back around to programming. Yeah, so you're going to get big, son.
Right. Exactly. I forgot we're talking about that.
No, you're good. That's that just comes down to it with the programming thing at the end of the day. It's just like, just pick something, do it, stick to it.
Right.
And then, you know, you're going to hit those plateaus, and there's methods of changing that. You know, if you're later on, and I guess big message there is, don't be afraid to ask for help. That's getting a trainer involved. That was a hard thing for me. I had no desire to be talking to a trainer, working with a trainer. That was something that I was just like, that's dumb. And then I met with you, decided to like take the time with it. And I was like, yeah, this is actually working for me. Like I'm not in college anymore. I don't have time to sit down for hours and build out this workout plan. Like I gotta go to work.
Yeah.
But I do still have, you know, goals. So I'm willing to solve them with the means I have.
You're basically paying for more time, right? That's what you're doing?
Shit, isn't that what we're all doing?
I mean, I'm going to do that today. I'm going to spend $60 on meals that I'm just going to eat at work.
Oh, really? You're telling me those pre-made meal preps?
Yeah. And I mean, it's just because when I don't do that, I spend about 90 minutes to 2 hours of cooking every day. And that's a lot of time.
Forget about that, man.
Yeah.
You need to talk about, we'll have a podcast about freaking meal prepping.
Yeah, all about meal prepping.
And how I ruin my life every Sunday, and then by the time it's Friday, I hate myself. I'm like, why did you think you were going to like this until Friday?
Yeah. Oh my God, that's going to be a good one. We're going to talk about like some rookie mistakes and pro tips on meal prepping. So that'll be good. Do you want to plug anything as far as like, you know, like Instagram or you know, Facebook or anything for people to give you follow? I don't even know
my Instagram handle right now. One second, actually. You can do yours first.
Okay. So you can follow me on Instagram at WKENDLE_MFT. So that's my first letter, last name, and then MFT for Master Fitness Trainer. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then also I post on Facebook as well. I'm doing I'm going to try and do more videos on there. So hopefully you guys will be seeing this podcast on both of those. So.
Okay. Well, I haven't decided what I'm doing about my social media and this whole thing yet, but yeah, you can find me at Dimitri Sebastian on Instagram. It's mostly me just posting awkward pictures of me and my friends at this given moment. But, you know, if you feel the need to follow me, we'll see about it.
Cool.
Yeah, I think we'll have to, I'll have to work that out and figure it out. Because right now it's like, who wants to see me taking pictures of weird cats I see in my yard? But
I love cats. That's what the internet's for.
That's, I know exactly. It's like, I don't know. I'm not here to promote myself. I just found this cat.
Yeah.
All right, cool. So I guess we can wrap it up from here. I mean, I think that was a pretty good start.
Yeah. Awesome. I mean, all right, well, thanks, guys. Thanks for listening.
Joining us.